Okay, so I'll see you all back here. I'll make it 11 o'clock. Make it 11 o'clock. We are now up to discussion on Amendment 2 to the Estuarine Striped Bass F&P. Charlton, I believe you're going to tee us up on this, are you?
Yes, sir, I am. And if we're all ready, I'll go ahead and get started. So good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, and thank you for the opportunity to continue discussions about Amendment 2 to the North Carolina Estuarine Striped Bass FMP. For those that may not know us and for the public listening online, I'm Charlton Godwin, and also with me today will be Todd Mathis. We are the Division FMP co-leads for striped bass. The North Carolina Striped Bass FMP is a joint plan with the Division and the Wildlife Resources Commission. Staff from both agencies are continuing development of Amendment 2. So, as shown in this outline, what we will be covering today, as well as on your agenda, you will see we have one action item for the Commission today. That action item is to review and vote on approval of the draft goal and objectives for the Estuarine Striped Bass Amendment 2. The Commission will also discuss and provide input on potential management strategies to be considered during development of Amendment 2. And the last two items will be an information update to the Commission on the scoping period and a review of the timeline. As noted to the Commission in November 2020, the results from the 2020 benchmark stock assessment indicate the Albemarle Roanoke striped bass stock is overfished, and overfishing is occurring in the terminal year of the assessment, which is 2017. Management actions for the Albemarle Roanoke stock in Amendment 2 will focus on ending overfishing and rebuilding the spawning stock biomass to provide sustainable harvest. And remember, the Albemarle Roanoke stock has a traditional assessment with biological reference points for fishing mortality and spawning stock biomass targets. For the CSMA, there is no stock status determination for the Central Southern Management Area, comprised of the Tar Pamlico, Noose, and Cape Fear River stocks. For the CSMA, also remember, traditional stock assessments aren't an option due to the continuing stocking that has occurred over the last decades and no natural recruitment in those systems. All right, today's step in the FMP process is for the MFC to vote on adoption of the goal and objectives. And I do want to mention this is in your briefing book in the Striped Bass FMP memo on pages 256 to 258 if you want to follow along there as well. The draft of the goal and objectives are as follows. The goal is to manage the estuarine striped bass fisheries to achieve self-sustaining populations that provide sustainable harvest based on science-based decision-making processes. If biological and or environmental factors prevent a self-sustaining population, then alternative management strategies will be implemented that provide protection for and access to the resource. You will notice the second part of the goal acknowledges the statutory provision in the Fisheries Reform Act that biology of the fish, environmental conditions, or lack of sufficient data may prevent obtaining a self-sustaining population. The goal is provided, allows for considering a possible management strategy that might potentially open a CSMA system to harvest if it is determined the current environmental factors prevent natural reproduction and a self-sustaining population. So next we'll go over the four objectives to meet this goal. Implement management strategies within North Carolina and encourage interjurisdictional management strategies that maintain and or restore spawning stock with adequate age structure and abundance to maintain recruitment potential and to prevent overfishing. Restore, enhance, and protect critical habitat and environmental quality in a manner consistent with the Coastal Habitat Protection Plan to maintain or increase growth, survival, and reproduction of the striped bass stocks. To use biological, social, economic, fishery, habitat, and environmental data to effectively monitor and manage the fisheries and their ecosystem impacts. And finally, to promote stewardship of the resource through public outreach and interjurisdictional cooperation regarding the status and management of the North Carolina striped bass stocks, including practices that minimize bycatch and discard mortality. Um, Next, the commission will discuss and provide input on the potential management strategies to be considered during development of the amendments. It is important to separate the management strategies from the management measures. What we're discussing here are the broad strategies that will be used to develop the plan. As shown in this table, which again is in the memo of your briefing materials on page 257, for each strategy, there are possible measures that will be considered to achieve Amendment 2 objectives. These are examples and not necessarily an exhaustive list. The two main management strategies have been identified thus far. The first for both the AR and the CSMA stocks is sustainable harvest. Sustainable harvest contains management measures such as quotas, seasons, trip limits, potential changes to size limits, changes to bag limits, gear modifications, and stocking. Adaptive management as a measure includes flexibility for items such as revising the AR stock total allowable landings based on updated stock assessments and projections. And this is currently how we are managing an Amendment 1 now. Or for the CSMA stocks, it may include measures that will slowly open harvest if natural reproduction starts occurring and the stocks meet other metrics such as an expanded age structure. Conversely, adaptive management for the CSMA may include, again, based on predetermined metrics, that under current environmental conditions, natural reproduction may not be possible and thus limited harvest might be allowed in a CSMA system with a goal of continued stocking to augment the population until such times environmental conditions exist to support natural reproduction, which is again how we were operating under Amendment 1 until the implementation of Supplement A, which prohibited harvest in the Tar, Pamlico, and Neuse Rivers. And I also wanted to remind the commission that the no possession in the CSMA is specific to the Cape Fear River, which has had a no possession measure in place since 2008, and to Supplement A for the Tar, Pamlico, and Neuse Rivers approved in March 2019. The second management strategy is applicable to all North Carolina commercial striped bass fisheries and considers allowing hook and line as a legal commercial gear in the striped bass fishery. Currently, we prohibit the commercial harvest or sale of striped bass taken with hook and line. This is a strategy that was considered in the prior Amendment 1, and a rule change was made to widen the possible use of alternative and more resource-friendly gears such as hook and line. Now, once this presentation is over, we can go back to this slide when the commission is discussing management strategies to guide the conversation. There's a lot on that slide, and that's the same for the goals and objectives. So now we were going to talk about the scoping process a little bit. I referenced that scoping period for Amendment 2. As noted in your briefing memo, the scoping period was an opportunity for the division to notify the public that development of Amendment 2 to the North Carolina estuarine striped bass was underway, to inform the public of stock status of the stock when available. So again, I just want to remind everyone the AR stock has a traditional assessment with biological reference points for fishing mortality and spawning stock biomass targets, but for the CSMA stocks, traditional assessments aren't an option due to continuous stocking and no natural recruitment. The scoping process also serves to seek public input of proposed management strategies and to help identify additional potential management strategies. The striped bass scoping period was held November 2nd through the 15th of 2020. The public was able to provide comments online through a questionnaire by U.S. mail or at two virtual meetings. A total of three in-person comments were received during the two virtual scoping meetings. 20 comments were received online and two comments were received through the U.S. mail. Comments were primarily focused on one or more of the management measures under the sustainable harvest management strategy for each system, and no additional potential management strategies were identified. So as Corinne discussed during the FMP presentation, we're in the second step of the FMP process today with estuarine striped bass. With the information you provide us today and the public input through scoping in mind, we will be developing Amendment 2. The PDT will have FMP Advisory Committee workshops to further develop the plan later this year. So to recap, the commission has one action item on estuarine striped bass today, and that is to vote on approval of the draft goal and objectives. And the commission will also discuss and provide input on potential management strategies to evaluate in Amendment 2. So before the commission moves to vote on the draft goal and objectives and discuss potential management strategies, Todd and I will be happy to address any questions. And I also just wanted to point out that our contact information is also provided on the screen. And as always, if any commissioners at any time wish to reach out to us to discuss anything, any specific items on striped bass and plan development, please do so. We would be happy to discuss any of these issues with you. And with that, we'll take any questions.
Okay, thank you for that opportunity. And any questions of the staff?
Tom.
Tom Rollo. Okay, yes, there's your hand up.
Okay. Yeah, I re-raised my hand after I lowered it. So, I'm concerned with the lack of public comment from the scoping period. Very concerned with that. And let me explain why, and I didn't mention this before. Our cell phone numbers aren't listed on the Marine Fisheries Commission site, but you can find mine really easily through my website and social media. I have been on the phone nonstop for like 3 to 4 weeks. People have been calling me. I have heard from so many fishermen about striped bass. We had a scoping period probably during the most controversial election of the last 100 years. Would it be pertinent to discuss sending things back out for scoping or public comment to get more? I mean, I think that's a relevant conversation to have. I mean, for a fishery this important, that's under so much trouble, I really would like to hear from more people. And this is just a conversation point. I'm not proposing anything, but, you know, having, you know, scoping during an extended election season does kind of concern me. So I'll have more questions for you, Charlton, but that's the first thing I want to raise just for conversation points.
Would that help y'all, Charlton, to do that?
Sir?
I said, would that help you all to if we extended the scoping period? Do you feel comfortable with what you've got? I know, Tom, you've probably been bombarded. I took off all of our phone numbers because I forgot what the issue it was. We got almost 24 hours a day phone calls. And with the expectation of the commission members calling these people back to discuss. And so I removed it. We got an email, and they can email us that way.
That's totally fair. I'm just pointing out that because people can access me, they have been. I've gotten tons and tons and tons of people. And I love it, just to be clear.
Okay, all right. So are you satisfied with the scoping period that we had, Charlton?
I mean, I think we would have liked to have seen more public comment during that period. I'm not sure exactly what the reasons were that we didn't receive more public comment, but certainly the public is going to have several more opportunities to comment about these measures and the goals and objectives and the measurement of the strategies and the management measures, at the AC workshops. And then again, when the first draft actually goes back out to public comment. So I certainly, and like you, Commissioner Roller, you know, I probably received more phone calls offline, you know, than what we got during the scoping period. So, I certainly would have liked to have seen more public comment and participation. I feel like that we really would have had that if we'd have been able to have these meetings in person. We chose to have a big meeting for the CSMA Supplement A, and that was extremely well attended and had a lot of interest in it. So I don't know about extending the scoping, but I guess that's just really to the commission.
Good enough. Good to know they'll have further opportunity to comment. Any other questions at this point?
Mr. Chairman, this is Kat. Can I jump in just one quick second?
Yes, ma'am, you sure can.
Thank you so much. And just start my video here so y'all know I'm really here. And just a comment about the scoping period. We have also had scoping for both shrimp and southern flounder. And really, I think our southern flounder, Dare County, scoping meeting was about the most heavily attended, and some of the other ones were very poorly attended, and that was before the pandemic and other things that came along that are totally out of our control. So our scoping part is the earliest and best opportunity for the public to get involved, but we are struggling with public comment in recent years, and I think this is also a struggle that ASMSC is having, as well as the South Atlantic and Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Councils. This is nothing that is germane to North Carolina, and it seems to be up and down the coast that public input is and involvement is definitely falling off from 20 years ago for sure. I just wanted to add that.
Great, thanks, Kat. I've seen that in a number of venues, so thank you. Okay, any other questions of Charlton at this point before we go into the goals and objectives? All right, not being, have you got a slide where you have the suggested goals and objectives for us to consider, Charlton?
It just so happens that I do.
How about that?
So here's the goal. And again, the first part of this goal is fairly standard across FMPs, the general language. And again, that second part really speaks to the issues that we talked about, especially in the Cape Fear River. We have some major issues with blockage to access to traditional spawning grounds. So I just to touch a little bit about that second part of that objective of the goal. And again, I can answer any questions about this if any commissioners have them.
Okay, please everybody read this thoroughly. And then the chair would entertain a motion to establish this as our goal.
I move that we establish this as our goal.
Martin Posey makes a motion that this will be our goal for Amendment 2 in the ESTB FMP.
Pete seconds it.
And Pete seconds it. Okay, Tricia. Okay. Maybe put the goal as set forth by staff. Okay, that's good. All right. Martin, is that your motion as you have made it?
Looks good.
Pete, good to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. All right. Okay, any discussion on the motion? All right, if not, let's have a roll call vote. Laura?
Mr. Chairman?
Wait a minute. Yes.
John Batherson here.
Yes, John.
Just a suggestion to approve the goal and objectives. Was that the action, to approve the goal and objectives?
No, right now we're just taking up the goal, and then we'll take up the objectives. That's the way you got it broken down, right, Charlton?
I mean, we can do whatever how the commission chooses. If they want to do both of them in one motion, that's fine. We can bring the objectives up, or you can do it separately, however the commission wants to do it.
All right. Well,
be cleaner, bring the objectives up and vote on both of them at the same time.
Okay, well, let's just do that then. Let's table this motion. I'm tabling this motion, and let's go to the objectives then. Okay.
And I think Dana's going to pass me back the ball, and you should see the objectives on the screen here.
I passed you the ball, Charlton. You might have to reshare it. I'm not exactly sure.
Yes, I am. I do apologize. This is just going to take one second.
No problem.
It's just about finished uploading.
All right. Thank you.
So these are the first two objectives. And I'll give you a chance to review those one more moment. And when you're ready, I'll go to the other two objectives.
There we go. Okay. All right. Everybody, please read these real well. Okay, if everybody is good, we'll go to the next ones. Okay, any others, Charlton?
No, sir, that's the four.
Okay, any discussion on these objectives?
This is Martin. I make a motion to accept the goals and objectives as presented by DMS staff.
Wonderful. Okay.
And I'll second that again. It's Pete.
Okay. Sounds great. So, Trish, just add goal and objectives to the previous motion, please. And there we go. All right. Way ahead on me. Okay. Martin, that's your motion as you made it, and Pete, as you second it, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? If not, Laura, let's do it. Who was that?
It was Tom.
Tom, yes.
I just want to say I'm going to vote against this on principle because I think we should have had more public comment and should not have been scheduled during the election period. I just want to explain my vote ahead of time.
Okay. Good enough. All right. So, Laura, roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Croft?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Blanton?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Hendrickson?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Roller?
Nay.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornegie?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner McNeil?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Romano?
Aye.
Thank you. And Chairman Bizzle?
Aye. Motion passes 8-1. All right. Great. So thank you for that, Charlton. And let's see about some input on some of our management strategies. Want to take that too?
Yes, sir, and I'll be glad to, while y'all are starting your discussion on that, I'll open that slide back up again to get us on. So you can have those on the table while you're discussing.
Pete, is your hand up?
Yes, sir. I want to speak whenever he gets the slide up.
Okay, right.
Can y'all see that?
Not yet. There we go. We got it. Okay, Pete, if you want to comment, go right ahead, please.
I do. Under the Albemarle Roanoke stock, under the bullet on seasons and areas, I would appreciate seeing a discussion and analysis on a moratorium on striped bass harvest. That would include removing gill nets from the ASMA and stocking the other things that I had mentioned in my presentation, and then reopening the commercial season some 10 years later using hook and line as a commercial gear.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anything y'all want to see in particular to be looked at during this process. Okay.
Tom, quick.
Tom Rowland. Okay.
Yeah, I want to specifically look at, since we're including the CSMA in this, I want to be sure that we look at this, at the tied out requirement that is used. This has been a topic of discussion in the years, and there's been a lot of controversy rewinding, looking at it. Just want to make sure that, you know, we get good presentation on that data.
Okay.
Is this a fair time to ask that question? If it's not, I understand. But
so, can I just follow up? So exactly what about the tie down issue would you like to look at, Commissioner Rowland?
I want to look at the study and how it's implemented. Does that make sense? Like if this is not an appropriate time to look at, I just want to make sure that we cover that data because it's been a topic for many years. Does that make sense or no?
We have data, the study, you know, that has been, that report has been out for several years, showing the studies that were done to look at the difference in, striped bass discards within the tie down area of distance from shore. So, I mean, we can provide that to you, you know, we can email that to you again at any time.
I just want to make sure that we discuss it at a commission level is what I'm getting at. If this is not an appropriate time to put that as a potential management strategy, that's fine. I just wanted to bring that up. So.
Okay. I mean, that is currently in, you know, that's currently one of the strategies we are using. And that would go under, if you look for the CSMA stocks, you know, that can go under gear modifications and limits. And as well as to Commissioner Carnegie's comments about the stocking, you know, as you see, we already have a bullet for stocking there. And we also discuss stocking for several different species at our annual co-op meetings that we have with Fish and Wildlife Service staff, Wildlife Commission, and Division staff. So yes, there are a lot of those things we are already addressing.
Okay, so just to be clear for the record, I want to make sure that the tie-down study is addressed in the gear modifications and limits. So for the CSMA.
Jason, this is Pete. Would you email me those studies as well?
I will. We will. We will just go ahead and email all of those to all the commissioners.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Great.
Thank you, Charlton.
Yes, sir.
Any other comments on management strategies?
Mr. Chairman, Mike Bland.
Yeah, Mike.
Charlton, I don't see any, and I know this is the heading is sustainable harvest. But I don't see anything that sort of tries to address the environmental factor of river flow at all within the presentation of what y'all are trying to take a look at. You know, I'm under, and maybe other commissioners are as well, but I'm not familiar with what the process has been in the past to try to mitigate river flows. And maybe we need to revisit and maybe put opinion in on that. But I don't see anything within the presentation that sort of even begins to address that, or that it seems that it's being addressed at all. So,
well, now I can comment on that. So it's not in here. Maybe specifically, it doesn't specifically say that, but we have actually conducted an analysis, or we have redone an analysis of the river flow that was made by Dr. Rulison, Dr. Mnuch in the 80s, and several WRC staff worked on that analysis for flow with the under the Emergency Striped Bass Management Act, and they identified the flows that the range of flows that seem to be, you know, more conducive to producing good year classes. We updated that with data. I think that data series, when the study was done previously, ended in the early 80s. We've updated that with data through 2019. So we are certainly cognizant of the importance of flow during the spawning period, and we certainly will have that in there. We do not have it listed here specifically, but we are aware of that. We have looked at it, and we will have some more information for the commissioners about the river flow and the effects of river flow on spawning. And I'll also just briefly, the Commissioner Carnegie touched on it a bit earlier this morning. So the Wildlife Resources Commission staff, I believe Division of Water Resources staff, Army Corps of Engineer, Dominion Power, you know, they have this range of flows. It's usually in the spawning period somewhere between, you know, 4 and 10,000 cubic feet per second coming out of that dam. It changes through the spawning season, but generally that's what it is. And that's where they'd like to keep flows at. And so the Corps and Dominion try to keep the lake levels in Lake Gaston primarily is the big one, Kerr Lake. They try to keep those levels as low as they can prior to spawning. So when we do get high rain events in the spring, they'll have a little bit of buffer and they won't have to start releasing water above that roughly 10,000 cubic feet per second range. And that's critical in May, all through May and the first week of June. So, you know, when those striped bass spawn, their eggs and larvae, they float down the river suspended kind of in the water column. What happens when that flow gets above much more than 10 or 12,000 cubic feet per second is that water goes out into the floodplains, into the swamps, and the eggs and the larvae are washed in there as well. We've had now, the last 4 years really have seen flows during the spawning period of anywhere from an average during May from 15,000 CFS to 25 or 30,000 CFS. Because of all the rain and the snow we've just had, flows right now today in the Roanoke River are about 36,000 cubic feet per second. So they're trying, they work really hard. They're on weekly, probably really daily calls during the spawning period to try to figure out exactly how much, when they can release water to try to get the flows back down within that period during the spawning time. So it is critical that flows, you know, are within that range. So, but we will, to your point about not seeing that in here, we certainly will address that in the FMP and we will have discussions about the flow, although there already is a flow agreement in place that mandates that the Corps try to keep it within this flow regime. So, but we will have that in the issue paper.
Okay, great. Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug Cross. Charlton, I'd like to add a point under just a sub-point, really, of were any moratorium on gear is considered, that it be equally considered on both the commercial and the recreational side when that's being compared, when y'all start doing this?
This is Pete. I agree with that.
Okay.
Got Charlton? Okay, great. Anything else from anybody? Okay, good discussion. Charlton, I think that ends you for the day. Thank you and your team for their input and their hard work. Appreciate it all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, commissioners, for the time today.